This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome once again to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's show, since yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, we're going to drink everybody's favorite Irish whiskey, Jameson. But before we get to that, let's get down to just a little bit of business. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please hit the subscribe button, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts app. And while you're there, maybe share an episode with a friend. If you want to play a bigger part in the show and help us maybe buy a bottle, you can go to patreon.com/chillfiltered, where you can support us monthly, and that would be awesome. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Oh, Cole, how are you, my dear lad, on this fine St. Patty's Day?
I'm sick, man.
I can hear it. That's...
Yeah, you got a little bit of that. I mean, I can breathe through my nostrils now, but I wasn't able to like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Which I'm grateful I'm not going to be mouth breathing probably this whole episode.
Right.
But yeah, I got something going on. But it's weird. I've been getting sick a lot. For the past year, I've gotten sick like 6 times. But it's only a cold. I've only really had, a 5-day run cold symptom thing.
Yeah,
but I'm going through another right now, and hopefully it'll be done in the next few days.
Have you typically been somebody that doesn't really get sick?
Yes, I was a one time a year kind of guy until last year.
Right.
Yeah, which is annoying.
It is annoying.
Yeah, I mean, there was one point where I got sick twice in 3 weeks.
Oh, that is rough.
That was a bummer. But I'm blessed because I don't deal with like I'm not throwing up. I'm not I'm not dealing with it for more than a week, and I can usually just bum my way through it with Dayquil.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed. But
yeah, exactly. So hashtag blessed with a D and no E. But otherwise, yeah, doing good. Work's good. I had my exam last week. Did I tell you I was taking an exam?
I think you did.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it went well. We'll see. I don't get my grade until 8 weeks later.
Are you somebody that beats yourself up on that though? That you'll always think it doesn't go well?
Not in this case. In other instances, yeah, but in the cases of exams, I'm normally more excited and then I'll fail as opposed to passing and thinking I did poorly.
Well,
especially with these exams.
Hopefully you're wrong about it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
but, for sure. But yeah, doing well. It's getting hot out here in Arizona, but, it's to be expected.
Yeah.
Otherwise, enjoyed my week. I'm trying to think. We had some friends visit from out of town, so that was kind of fun.
Dude, you are constantly having people come visit you.
I think it's because it's just such a big location. I mean, the people that came this week were on their way to New Mexico, and they were like, well, we'll just fly into Phoenix and drive to New Mexico.
Oh, so nice.
That's kind of the thing. I mean, most people don't want to stop in Madison on their way to...
Especially in the winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a convenience that we get to see certain people, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
what
cool.
What about you? What's going on?
I'm good. We had Story Slam last night, and it was the first time that we have ever, a couple of firsts, we charged at the door, we charged $5, and I was really concerned that people were not going to be happy with that, because we've been free for 5 years,
yeah.
And I just was like, people aren't going to show up, and they're going to be upset. We had about 100 or so people show up, and I only had maybe two that were like, what do you mean it costs something this time? But otherwise, everybody else was really great about it. And I think that part of the reason that they were great about it is they understood why we were charging this time. And the reason was, another first, we had a musician come play. He came up from Nashville. And so I explained many times over Facebook over the last month that, hey, the cover charge is so that we can help pay for this guy's gas and give him some money for performing for us and blah blah blah. So
yeah,
that went really well, and the music was really great, and the stories were really great. So
I'm glad
the live stream, we actually live streamed all of it
on Facebook video. So we did the stories on the Story Slam Facebook page, and then we did the music on his band's Facebook page, and that band name is State and Madison. So if anybody wants to go check out the video of the concert, you should go check that out on Facebook. It was really great. The best thing about the evening, best thing, but one of the best things for me is we made $700, which is great.
It's amazing. And so
we were able to bless the musician that came and give him a little more than we thought we were gonna, and so you know, help him further his career and all that good stuff.
Go ahead.
No, you got it.
No, what's next? Are you gonna continue that kind of feel it out, or is that only for like musicians joining in the future?
What do you mean? What am I going to
do? In terms of charging?
No, so we're not going to charge. I'm committed to this being a free event.
That's good.
If something presents itself like this again, I will consider doing it and probably charge. But I will tell you that, you know, when I've got a line of 12 people, or basically just a steady line, you know, doors open at 6 and we start at 7. Well, from 5:45, I had a steady line of people just handing over money to get in. There was a part of me that was like, I should just charge for this event.
I mean, especially if you could bring in a few hundred every time, but
yeah, it would just help cover a lot of the fees that we have and a lot of the costs. And here's the other thing is, if I did start charging, I wouldn't have to do a GoFundMe every 2 or 3 years for new equipment that we need. So I don't
know. Or you could like upgrade your venue.
Right.
You know?
Right. There's pros and cons, you know, we it's a community event and I want to keep it that way. And I do feel like charging changes the shape of it and what it actually is. It becomes more of a performance than, you know, right now, you know that Story Slam has a certain feel to it, a certain like hanging out with friends type feel. And if you're paying to hang out with your friends, it doesn't really feel like you're hanging out with your friends. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you. You should definitely, I would, if I were you, keep it as it is, as it was rather.
Yeah, for sure. So, hey, do you remember the first time that we, that you came over and we met and we talked
or
whatever? And do you remember, at one point you said, hey, could I have some of that Jameson over there? And I looked at you and I said, you like Jameson, do you? And you were like, no.
Yeah. And I think, what was the other option? Should we mention? Yeah, we can mention the other option.
Was it just Jack Daniels?
I think it was. It was Jack and Jameson. I'll take Jameson over Jack any day.
This was before I knew that you were a big whiskey guy. Like, that was how you told me that you were a big whiskey guy.
Yeah, that might have been how I led into it.
Right. And it was certainly before I was into whiskey at all. The only whiskeys I ever bought would be Jack and Jameson, and I would drink Jameson on special occasions. It was my good whiskey. And then and then Jack I would just buy to mix in Coke or Dr. Pepper. Certainly my tastes have changed both in palate and in price, and that is all thanks to you. But so, yeah, that's what we're drinking today, and I am excited to. I haven't had Jameson probably since that night, I would bet.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way.
So I'm excited to see what I think of it now, and why don't we get to that? But before that, we're gonna take just a quick break. All right, back from break here on Chill Filtered. And as we said before we went to break, we are drinking Jameson. Probably the most, you know, Cole, I always say that Jack Daniels is the most popular whiskey in the world, most recognizable whiskey in the world. Jameson is likely the most popular and recognizable Irish whiskey in the world. I think if you go somewhere and say, hey, what do you know about Irish whiskey? It's almost always going to be somebody's going to mention Jameson. So, Cole, you're our background man, and what can you tell us about this pour?
Yeah, so I wanted to start with who it's owned by. So Jameson is owned by Irish Distillers, subsidiary of Pernod Ricard, which we brought them up before, but the Irish Distillers, they got the big brands of the Irish world. There's, of course, Jameson, Powers, Redbreast, Middleton green spot / yellow spot, and a few other like non-whiskeys. But they're kind of like the huge Irish whiskey like owner. Right. But the other big names that aren't under Irish Distillers, Bushmills, which is also that now it's under Jose Cuervo, but Sexton, remember we had that probably in our first 15 episodes.
Yeah.
That is owned by Proximo, and that's connected with Jose Cuervo. Tullamore Dew is the other one, and they're owned by D.E. Williams. But Jameson is definitely the front and center of Irish whiskey. In fact, it is by far the best-selling Irish whiskey in the world. And I'll get to partly why I think that is, especially with the origin of the Jameson. What is it? The John Jameson and Sons Distillery. But I'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to talk about Irish whiskey. We mentioned this in the Sexton episode, but I wanted to remind our listeners and ourselves that there are three types of Irish whiskey. There is single pot still, single malt, and single grain. Now, they're all, if they say single in the name, it is from one single distillery. Otherwise, I guess there is a fourth option, and that is a blended. So that's actually, Jameson is under kind of a blended, but we'll get to that in a second. So single pot still needs to be unmalted and malted barley, and a pot still is used. Up to 5% of other grains besides malted and unmalted are allowed. Single malt can be only malted barley, and a pot still is used. Otherwise, the single grain is the can use a variety of grains and use a column still. We remember the Aeneas Coffe. He was the guy who, an Irish guy, who invented the, column still. So that's kind of cool. And you can use no more than 30% malted barley in single grain. But anyway, the other Irish whiskey rules, which we've never fully discussed, we said it was pretty loose, but actually I found the exact rules to be an Irish whiskey.
Hit me with them.
Yeah, let's do it. It needs to be a mash of malted barley and other optional cereal grains. It can be only malted barley, but it doesn't need to be. It needs to be mashed, fermented, and distilled to no more than 94.8% and matured in wooden casks, not exceeding 700 liters per cask for a minimum of 3 years, and it needs to be in Ireland, which makes sense. Needs to be only water or caramel coloring can be added. And caramel coloring, for the record, has no taste to it. And that's something they're very adamant about saying, is that this doesn't affect the flavor. But there are certain scotches that can add caramel coloring as well. We talked about that with Bowmore, our darkest 15-year. That has some caramel coloring in it. Needs to retain the characteristics of its raw materials. That is a quote. And that basically means it needs to taste like what it normally should taste like.
Right.
Needs to be bottled at no less than 40% alcohol by volume. And those are the rules to be an Irish whiskey. So anyway, about the distillery, it was John Jameson and Son Irish Whiskey, started officially in 1810. But it had been the brand had been going on a little bit before then. 1780 was kind of where it really started. And that was in Dublin. But now it's made in Cork, Ireland. Apparently, John Jameson married into the distilling industry, which is kind of funny. And then he started marketing this kind of brand of his own, and it took off in, you know, the early 1800s. Now, by far, the highest-selling Irish whiskey in the world. But I think that's partly because they have been selling internationally, which makes sense. Ireland's kind of a small island, but they've been intentionally selling internationally since the early 1800s.
Oh, wow.
And I think because of that being the case, that's really why the name's so big.
Right.
U.S. is the largest market by far for Jameson. Specifically with Jameson whiskey, there are tons of bottlings, tons of different types of Jamesons. There's like an 18-year, there's the 12-year / it's called the 1780 edition or like version of it. There's a vintage, which is actually phenomenal. If you ever get the chance to get a Jameson vintage, it's amazing. They have their cask mates and plenty of other names.
What do you think? Have you had any of those cask mates?
I have. I'm not a huge fan. It's not bad. It's actually really smooth typically, but I feel like aging in beer barrels is kind of weird for me.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what they do, for the record. They age in typically like stout barrels or stuff like that. But Jameson, this bottle we're drinking right now is a blend of grain whiskey and single pot still whiskey.
Yeah, I guess I never noticed that it's actually a blend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't think so either. I always thought it was like single pot still.
Yeah.
But this one has malted and unmalted barley. It is distilled, sourced, and sourced. All the materials are within 50 miles of the Cork area in Ireland, which is cool.
My bottle says mm-hmm. triple distilled, matured, and bottled in Ireland at the Bow Street Distillery in Dublin.
Yep. And so they'll say that, but I read an article on it. They'll say it, but it's all in Cork. I don't know why they are so... Maybe it was just because it was originally done in Dublin.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but it's basically lying. I mean, I don't know how far Cork is from Dublin, but it's apparently all done in Cork.
Right.
And then one more thing is it's triple distilled, as you can probably see on your bottle.
Yep.
Which gives it, and most Irish whiskey is triple distilled. It is not a requirement, but it usually gives it that really clean, crisp flavor and kind of notes to it. When you distill more, you get more of a pure product. And when you get more of a pure product, you get a lot more crisp of a product. So,
yeah.
Scotch will pretty much always double distill, so you can get the rest of the flavor in there that comes with the actual distillate or that with like the fermentation and stuff like that, and even just mm-hmm. the malt to begin with. But the very last thing I will say is that we've talked about the malting process, and Jameson does not use peat, of course. Normally, Irish whiskey will never use peat, except for like Connemara. But then they don't use charcoal either. They actually use natural gas to halt the malting process. And they're known for doing that. It's kind of a new age thing in terms of the whiskey world, in terms of malting. But yeah, they got, that's kind of how they do it. That's how they heat up the grain. So it gives it maybe a slightly different flavor than even charcoal would. So I kind of think that's cool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're drinking some Jameson today.
All right. Well, let's get to it. I don't know if you've got a glass poured or not yet.
I got my mini bottle right here. You can hear the cork.
Cork. Yeah. I also had a mini bottle, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I did not go out and buy a whole big bottle of this.
So I told you the other day, I was like, I need an excuse to buy Redbreast 12 cast strength.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the liquor store, so that was my excuse. So I bought also while I was there, Redbreast 12 cast strength. So I'll send you a sample.
No, you don't got to send me a sample. I'm going to buy some soon.
Oh, man, I poured a lot of this.
Yeah, well, I poured the whole bottle. There's more in there than I thought there was going to be.
Me too, seriously.
So I've been smelling it while you've been talking.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, there's not a lot there as far as notes go for me.
Yeah. So we've talked about this in the past, is that Jameson is kind of the base for all Irish whiskey. Like, they all kind of taste like Jameson. Even my favorite Irish whiskey tastes a little bit. It has hints of just Jameson in it. So right. I think Irish whiskey all kind of tastes similar, but it's the specific, like, specialized notes that really makes a good Irish whiskey.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't say that all Irish whiskeys have a hint of Jameson. I would say that all Irish whiskeys are Irish whiskeys. There's a specific taste that is an Irish whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not.
That would be like saying all chocolate bars have a hint of Hershey's in them. Well, no, they all have chocolate in them.
No, you're right. So I'm getting a little bit of pears, but not as much as I got for Sexton. Sexton, I got a ton of pears, but
yeah,
a little bit of that. Just a little bit of, like, I don't know. It just smells like Irish whiskey.
I smell a little bit of grapes. Yeah, my biggest notes, I guess, would be a generic fruitiness and then a little bit of that alcohol smell.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go for a sip.
Oh, you go for that sip, you.
Oh, it's coming.
You guy. I'll wait until you're done so that I can sip and somebody can be talking at all times. So
always got to be talking.
That's right. So what'd you think about that sip?
Okay, so I think my palate is kind of muted, but it might just... Ooh, nice vanilla on the finish. But I'm not feeling too much flavor on the front of the palate. But I think, honestly, that's because I'm sick.
No, I don't.
Okay, really?
Yeah, because I didn't get anything.
Oh, really? Nothing on the front?
Even in the finish, like, I just...
Oh, I got some beautiful vanilla on the finish.
I think I've ruined my palate with better whiskeys.
I'm you know what I mean? Like, it's just... Yeah.
Honestly, kind of flavorless for me.
Yeah, it's definitely... I'm getting something, though. I really do like that candy vanilla at the end.
I don't get that at all. I got a little bit of tree bark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like... similar to what we dealt with Jack Daniels. It feels a little watered down.
Right.
And I believe it is... Let me look at the proofage. Yeah, it's 40%, so minimum.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever sells sometimes. But I, you know... I still prefer this to JMO. I mean, not JMO, Jack. And it's just got a little more going on to me than Jack Daniels would.
Not for me, man. I don't prefer either of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Especially one over the other. They're two different beasts, but...
Mm-hmm.
So I just
I'm
really...
adding...
Go ahead.
No, I'm just adding water. Go ahead.
I don't know that I want to add water because it's already very watery.
But we have found with certain Irish whiskeys, they do taste decent with a little dilution.
Yeah, well.
But it might taste no better.
This honestly just tastes like spicy water to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only doing one drop.
Yeah, with the drop that I did. I don't know. I think the vanilla came out more for me. Which... I'm not even like trying to super. I mean, I am trying to defend Jameson a little bit.
Yeah,
but I really am tasting a nice candy vanilla in the finish.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to take a shit on Jameson or anything.
For sure.
You know, as I claimed before, it was my fine whiskey that I would buy. You know what I mean?
I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I'm not enjoying this. Like, I'm not like disgusted by it, but it's not like it's not something I would ever drink. Honestly, if I was in the mood for whiskey and this was my only option, I probably just wouldn't drink whiskey.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to do everything. I want to do the best of everything.
Hey, I'm here to make people spoiled rotten. Not spoiled rotten, snobby. No, you're not snobby. But
you know what? That water changed it a little bit.
I think it almost improved it, to be honest.
It actually gave it. I'm actually getting flavor out of it now.
Yeah,
it's not good flavor.
Uh huh.
But it's flavor.
But it's more. Yeah. So I just put in ice.
I'm not bringing cubes in.
Mm-hmm. I will. I hate to say it, but it's almost better.
Let me guess. Is it giving it? Does the ice now give you a little bit of that metallic-y, tinny flavor?
No.
Really?
No, it's sweeter.
The water in mine almost gave it that, and I was just like, I was thinking, I bet if I put ice in this, it would have that, but...
Mm-hmm. Guess no, not. It's sweet. I mean, if I compare it to, like, my favorite other Irishes, similar to, like, Redbreast Cask Strength, or, I find that typically well-aged Irish whiskeys typically have like a very nice, fresh tropical fruit finish to them. This one does not at all.
No, it doesn't.
But I think the finish is definitely the best part of it. Probably the only part of it.
Yeah, I'm just honestly, I'm not getting anything out of it that I enjoy.
Mm.
But again, it's not like I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
It's just. A liquid, you know, I have no opinion, I guess.
Yeah. I prefer this to certain, like, I hate to say it, not every micro is bad, but certain micros have that soapy flavor that I hate. This is better than those.
Right.
But it's not great.
I have never noticed that soapy flavor that you talk about.
Ugh, I hate small barrels.
I have enjoyed some drinking last night.
Oh yeah.
You know, that musician, he came to town from Nashville and he stayed with me, and he has followed the podcast and followed my like Instagram where I'm posting photos of whiskey bottles and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't wait until after the show and we can go back to your place and enjoy some whiskey. Like, I'd love to try some of your good stuff.
Yeah. So, what'd you pour?
The first pour was that Four Roses OESQ.
Oh, yeah.
Both me and him, and then my wife, Ashley, she tried that too, and they both were like, wow, this is incredible.
Oh, good.
And then I poured straight rye, EHT straight rye.
Nice.
And then I poured the Knob Creek cast strength rye.
Oh, nice.
So
I had friends over last night, and I poured, the guy was a Scotch guy, so I poured first, he had already had my Supernova and he loved it, and that was from before, but he tried last night. I poured him the one that I'm going to pour for you soon, the mystery whiskey.
Yes.
And he loved that. But the other two he had was Glendronach 21 and Abuna. Gotta get that Abuna right every time now.
Yeah, right.
And he said that easily Abuna beat out Glendronach 21.
Oh, which, yeah.
I know you agree with, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I drank quite a bit last night, and never once, I was not drunk at all, ever.
Yeah.
And this morning, you know, I woke up at 6:30 and was totally fine, but then I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, well, I had probably 5 or 6 beers at Story Slam.
Yeah.
I came home, had 4 more beers here while we were drinking. I probably had 6 ounces of whiskey.
Yeah. You're invincible, dude.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because I felt great. I was clear-headed. I wasn't... I was as sober as I could be, but I had alcohol in me.
You didn't wake up with your boxers folded on the ground. Do you remember that story?
I don't remember this story. What are you talking about?
No, you told me, like... it was like a month or two ago. You were like, yeah, like you had drank, or no, it wasn't the night. Yeah. It was the night that we had that tasting.
Right.
And you woke up in the middle of the night and you're like, I am not wearing underwear right now.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you looked on the ground and it was, your boxers were like folded neatly on the ground.
I do remember that. You're right. I remember waking up and thinking, did somebody undress me?
People have had worse problems waking up in the middle of the night after getting drunk, but like, I think that's so funny.
That is not the first time that I've woken up naked after drinking too much. One time I woke up curled, I was living in a house, and I woke up curled up on the bathroom floor completely naked.
It was
a bad time. I don't drink like that anymore though, so
that's good.
That was a dark time in my life. That was the night I drank an entire bottle of Jack. So,
oh, was it that night? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was a good time. So what are we doing for ratings on this?
I'm gonna give this a 5.1.
I think we're gonna make history here, because I think that this is gonna be the lowest rating we've ever given.
No.
One of us has ever given. I think I'm gonna give it a 2. Yeah.
Okay.
Not because I think it's bad, but because I didn't taste anything really.
Yeah. So no, there's something
like
to that.
There's like, I almost wanted to say 0 in
because
the sense
nothing
that,
was there.
Yeah, because there was nothing. It was nothing.
Yeah.
But 0 has a connotation of like, oh, this is absolutely awful and you should never drink it.
Yeah.
It's just I don't feel that way. I just feel like drink something else, because if you want flavor.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. So is that the lowest rating either of us has ever given on the show?
I think so. I've never heard of a 2.
You've never heard of a 2. Well, now
who
you
would
have.
Ever do a 2?
Yeah. That's right.
No.
Are you ready for some Whiskey World news?
I think so.
All right. It's time for Whiskey World news. Except I'm just kidding. I didn't find an article, so there is no Whiskey World news today.
No news.
Wow,
this
sorry,
is a
man.
First as well.
No, this is not a first. We've done no Whiskey World news before.
Oh, that's right. We've done like beer news or drinking a beer or something.
But I told you this. We should have told our listeners up at the top. This is going to be a shorter episode. It is St. Patrick's Day today. We are also celebrating my father-in-law's 75th birthday, and he is Irish. And I didn't find out about any of this celebration until this morning when my wife was like, "Are you ready to go?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Oh, we're going to my dad's." So I ran home real quick when Cole texted and said, "Hey, I'm ready to record." Nice. And so now we've got to be finished and I got to get back over there. But I do want to share a little bit of personal whiskey news, and I can't share too much of it, but it's going to be good for us, good for me especially. My brother moved back to town here in Madison, and nice. He's been in the beverage industry for many, many, many years, and he just accepted a position, and I'm not going to say the brand, but just accepted a position with a bourbon company, a distillery.
Brand ambassador?
No, he like... brand ambassadors. I always feel like that's not really a position with the company.
Yeah.
Like it's always like, "Hey, we'll give you some drinks to pass out." No, he has like a real position within the company, that will benefit us. So,
I'm glad to hear this.
We might have some cool stuff coming along in the pipes for Chill Filtered. And, at least, we'll have some access that we didn't regularly have before. So that's pretty exciting. Go ahead.
No, before you finish, I want to talk about what we can drink next time.
Yes, I will get there. But yeah, so now that you've interrupted, go ahead and tell us what we're drinking
next time. Listeners, I think you're really going to like next week. So I've decided to, we're going to put off the Buffalo Trace Experimental for a little bit longer.
But we do need to do that soon, because if you remember, mine is in a bottle that is cracked.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I just, with the open air, I just don't know how much it's going to affect it.
Wait. Is it like literally open?
No, the cap is still on there, but it's, it might as well be open, basically.
Okay, fine. Let's do that. But then the week after.
No. I'm fine putting it off. I'm just saying, hey, put it off for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's good to know. Okay. So what we're going to do next week is we're going to do a comparison of Buffalo Trace. Mixed or compared to a barrel pick of Buffalo Trace that actually exceeded 11 years. And my source is good, and my source is reliable, that they randomly got a Buffalo Trace barrel pick that was, literally an 11 year, which is higher than, it's basically the same, mash bill as Eagle Rare, but even older in this case. Typically, Buffalo Trace is younger than Eagle Rare.
Right.
But we're going to compare it to see if it's actually making a difference between the standard Buffalo Trace to this specialized Buffalo Trace.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. All right, that's the show today. And Cole, I hope your week this week goes well. And I hope that all this other stuff, but mostly, Cole, I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.